Pull over, lean in. It's time for the Soft Shoulder Podcast. I am your host, Danette Relic of Radical Creative Sanctuary, inviting spaciousness for your mind and your heart. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. The Soft Shoulder is your time. Your time to slow down and fuel up on self-love support, so you can make the most of your gorgeous life. Join me here. Everyone needs a soft shoulder. Hello, sweet listener. I just made a cup of tea to sit down and record this podcast for you, and it's one of those tea bags that has the little message on the end, which I love. I'm such a sucker for these little things with little messages. I love little bits of secret information written in places. And I thought this was interesting because it's about speaking. I made it. I sat down next to the microphone and my tea says, "Speak to make yourself happy. Don't speak to impress others." So I'm just letting you know that I am not here to impress you today. I am purely sitting down in my living room with a microphone and headphones, and I'm here for me, people. I'm here to make myself happy, so enjoy. What's funny about these tea bags, any of these messages really, is that, like I said, like I remember there was like certain kinds of soda or water or something that would have messages under the bottle cap. Fortune cookies as a kid was always like a magical fun thing. Any of these things, but what's fun about them, and I like the tea as well, what's fun is that, you know, you can take the messages seriously. You can completely dismiss them. And in between there, you can also use them as a tool for your intuition. So, you know, it's like you might get one day that really resonates. And you're like, oh, wow, this is the perfect tea. Can you believe I got this tea bag today? Like, oh, my God. And it really hits home. And other times you get it and it's like, eh, whatever. But what's the difference there? The difference is that there's something that you know that's true, or something that you wanted to hear, something that you wanted affirmed. And you know what that is. Right? So that's when you go like, oh yeah, this is such a smart tea bag. It's not. It's just that it's reflecting back what you already know to be true. And the ones that don't apply suddenly just seem like regular tea bags. But the truth is, they're all regular tea bags. So it's a wonderful little tool if you're thinking about ways to get back in touch with your intuition. Notice how you respond to things like that. We're all different. We all need different things. So this particular podcast, this is for people likely who have trouble saying no, for all kinds of reasons. But I was thinking about it because I was thinking about Grey's Anatomy, as one does, and cannot count how many times I've watched this series. I used to say it was a guilty pleasure to rewatch TV programs that I've really enjoyed. And I've been working on, if anyone's doing the Someone Worth Loving 2018 challenge on Instagram, you notice that the challenge for pleasure, guilty, was in brackets, because I'm really interested in this idea of like, what do we call guilty pleasures? And why do we need to be feeling guilty about this? I've mentioned this before. So I know you're not supposed, you watch the TV program, it's over, there's better things to do with your time. That's one argument. And there are some stories that I absolutely love reading again and again. And, you know, someone has written, actually many people have written Grey's Anatomy, and there's characters there and there's stories there, and I do not get bored of watching it. I love to revisit it. I get more from it. I love noticing the nuances. I love noticing things I didn't catch the first 70,000 times I've watched it. It's not true. Many, I'd have no idea, to be honest, how many times I've watched it over the years, but things that I've missed. And then I start thinking about the writers and, oh, did they do that on purpose? Do they know this was going to happen? Like, I really enjoy that. So huge respect for Shonda Rhimes, who's an incredible woman, an incredible business person, an incredible talent. And if you haven't read her Year of Yes, I believe she also did talks on the topic, but she has wrote a book called The Year of Yes based on something that she did for herself, a year where she was just going to practice saying yes. When I heard this, I listened to her audiobook, which is a great way to hear this story, by the way, read by her in her voice. I started like feeling icky. I was like, oh God, not more yeses. So I think that's sort of like the teabag message, right? For some people, the year of yes is like a, oh my God, okay, I know this is good for me. And for other people, maybe you've been living every year as a year of yes, and maybe what you need is a year or more of no. So take that in for a second. Are you a people pleaser? Do you take pride in being a hard worker? That's a whole other term that I'm interested in unpacking, along with guilty pleasure, hard worker. Maybe you feel obligated to many people in your life. Maybe you're a caretaker. Maybe you assume the position of caretaker. And especially if you feel in any way that you have been conditioned to not speak up, to not confront or not assert your own needs or desires, you've likely been living years of yeses, right? Another way to know this is if you're exhausted, if you are frustrated in certain areas of your life, if you're annoyed, sad, drained, if you feel taken for granted or underappreciated, and especially if you feel resentful, come closer and listen in. I have something wonderful for you. Years ago, I started my very first Flirting with Self marriage workshops, and I really loved them. It was the first time that I had taken this material into a workshop setting. If you haven't listened to episode one, the very first episode of this podcast, it tells my whole self-marriage story and talks a little bit about where that did go and including where it went with my work. But, I started, first I was writing about it and then I started teaching it. And I started with flirting because, as you know, if you're listening or as you know from experience, you know, self-love, self-marriage, it's not a switch and it's not, I'm going to just do this perfectly tomorrow or whatever. And even the word perfectly. This is a process and a journey like any love relationship, like any marriage. And it takes time. And so, you know, the flirting is a nice way to introduce the idea, to get our toes wet, and also to see what that looks like for different people. Because one of the things I enjoyed so much about those workshops was the spectrum of people that came and the reasons why they came. It wasn't what, you know, when I first introduced this topic to people in conversation, often people will try to guess who that's for. Like, oh, for people who are single, who like, you know, want to commit to themselves instead. It's like, well, maybe. Or, oh, for people who are nearly divorced and they like want to like reclaim their relationship with themselves. Well, yeah, maybe. It also attracts people in unhappy partnerships and happy partnerships. It attracts people from, you know, people in their 20s. I haven't spoken with many children about this topic. Maybe it will interest them as well. But people really of like many decades of age and many different relationship statuses for many different reasons. And some people love the conversation about self-marriage without ever really planning to do it. Like marriage itself is something that's not resonant for them. But the process, the journey, and the period of engagement, the intentional component of engaging with oneself really really does appeal to them. So after doing this for a while, I was ready to commit, and I was really excited to go deeper into the material, to really unpack some of these things that kept coming up at the workshops, go beyond the flirting and commit, right? I mean, that's what the work is about. So I started this group called Radical Vows, and it was like a Radical Vows, like self-marriage beta group. I was testing out a small coaching group to see what conversations were going to happen and how we can go deeper into topics like trust and courtship and romance and commitment. All of these things, I mean, you can imagine it's the difference between a group workshop where you're touching on a lot of topics and when you get to spend an entire evening talking about self-trust, hearing how that goes and what that looks like for other people, actually sharing what that really means, right? Like, where am I with my relationship with myself? And so it was such an amazing time and an amazing, amazing group of women that joined me in that. And I'm going to share, with her permission, I'm going to share with you one of those Radical Vows trailblazers. She had a self-love practice that just became notorious. And it was like, we still talk about it. Other participants remember it. It's a really powerful, wonderful practice. And she, with her permission, I'm going to be sharing that with you. So here you go. If you're someone who can't say no, listen up, because she couldn't either at one point. So this is the story about a woman named Erica, who's an extraordinary woman. And for her, it didn't start off with this thing about saying yeses and nos. It started off with taking a year of being solo, taking a year without pursuing dating, without coupling, and without putting any energy into that. Now, I can really relate to this. I did something, wasn't quite a year, but I did a period of that in between some major breakup relationship shifts because I wanted to really change a pattern that I had noticed. And, you know, and Erica wasn't the first client that I've had who did this, and it wasn't because I told them to. It's really interesting how when people start to do self-love work or make that decision to focus on themselves, I find that interesting, that deciding, if you're not already like in a marriage or something like that, to decide to intentionally stay single for a period of time, I think that's really interesting that that shows up. And you know, some people might call it a detox. I'm not crazy about that word. You know, dating isn't a toxin. Relationships aren't necessarily a toxin, but this is more like a reset, right? Especially for those of us who give ourselves up to the drama and pursuit of another. So, you know, it's like an engagement period, like in that true sense of engage, right? Like to tap in, to hold fast, to engage with yourself, to be really intentional about and energized about you. So quickly, you know, when someone starts to like focus, takes the focus out of dating or not dating, things start to change. And Erica noticed this. So like when you start, you know, if you're somebody who was dating a lot, and also, by the way, I'm partially sharing Erica's story, but I'm not saying that Erica was like dating like all the time. Actually, I have no idea what was going on with Erica's dating life before that exactly. But just if you're someone who is, that's where a lot of attention goes, you're serial dating or just, what do they call it? Like serial monogamist or something like that, where you're just constantly, you're never actually alone. Suddenly when you open up that space of being alone, you know, something much more beautiful happens than just being single. Like suddenly you make space for yourself. And when you brave that kind of intimacy without the distraction of relationship pursuit or drama, when it's just you, well, that's a really tender place. And things between you and you just might start to get serious, right? It's like, okay, it's just us now. You know, there's nothing on the horizon. There's no time scrolling through a dating app. When you go out to a coffee shop or to a dinner or to a party or to a dance, it's like a dance. What year is this? When you go down Anyhow, so whenever you're out, another client of mine noticed, you know, that she would scan whenever she went out, even just for like a fun thing, out for coffee alone, whatever. She'd be scanning the room for, you know, potential romance, potential something. Who's another person in here who might be looking at me, who might give me attention, who I might want to give attention to? And I will say, like, that I have definitely done that without realizing it for very long periods of my life. So what happens when you remove all that? Well, whew, it is intimate. And so let's go to Erica. So Erica took this year of solo time. And when she did that, she found that she was facing some deeper challenges. She was facing challenges, like so many of you, with boundaries. She saying yes to all the things was one of the things that Erica was doing. And she says that she was numbing herself with the busyness of life. Do you relate to this? Oh, I know I do. And I know from hearing from so many of you responding, thank you, about the episode about boundaries, stay in your own lane. I think that a lot of you are with Erica on this. So Erica decided, first of all, she found Erica likes to, like me and probably like many of you, create vision boards. She had a Psychology Today magazine cover, and it was around that time it highlighted the power of no. This was an article in there, and it really caught her eye around this time because she had decided to make this commitment to herself. She decided to open up space to be solo. So she's starting to notice these things. And she noticed this Psychology Today mag, the power of no, and picks it up. And then she starts going into the magazine and cutting out with scissors all the no's. So just the tiny word no, big nose, little nose. I saw them. It was impressive. Okay. She just cut all these out. And when she began this practice of giving herself permission to say no, she would actually take a no from the box. Oh, so she made, she took the Psychology Today magazine and she made an origami box with the magazine. So she cut out all the no's and also with the same magazine made a little paper box. So she had a paper box from this Power of No magazine with all of these little, it's like confetti of no. How incredible is this? Erica, you are awesome. So she would fish into here like and pick one out. Again, right? This is like another opportunity for really having fun playing with your intuition. She'd find a no that fit the rejected thing that she wanted to say no to. And she would tape it into her journal, the little no or the bigger no. And beside it, she would write what she was rejecting, why she was rejecting it, and how she felt doing that. Now, can you imagine doing that? Like bringing that attention to a very particular thing that you want to say no to, and then really getting to the heart of it. Right? This is about being conscious. This is about choosing your life. And in the last episode, I talked about responsibility, about, you know, staying in your own lane. In order to do that, you need to know what your own lane is. You need to know yourself. This is such a powerful practice. We were all just delighted by Erica and her box of no's in this group. I mean, it just became a thing, you know, and she would be like handing out no's to other people. She was very generous with her no's. And notice, speaking of being generous with no's, notice that the more she started to use them, now keep in mind, this wasn't easy for her. Okay, so if you're somebody who's like, oh God, like I couldn't do that. She didn't start with, you know, throwing the no confetti everywhere and feeling great about it. She didn't start there. She needed this. That's why she created it. She was having trouble with it. And eventually when she started practicing, she realized how good it felt. How freeing it was. Because what happens when you say no to one thing, that means you're saying yes to something else. So ironically, when, you know, the more, is this the correct use of irony? Let's just let that slide. So as she's pulling out these no's, what's actually happening for Erica is more yes. For the things that matter, more yes for her, more yes for clarity. Do you see how that might work? And like that was many years ago when I ran that group And Erica still does that from time to time. So this is a lovely thing, right? It could be something that you just decide to do now for where you are in your life right now. You might develop a lifelong self-love practice. This is what happens when you pay attention to who you are and what you need and find your own ways of connecting with yourself. The box was beautiful. The practice was beautiful. I loved how permission-giving it was. I loved how many no's were in that box. It was incredible. And I think about how meditative that is, right? There's so many parts to this process, which is great. This is why, you know, maybe you have an app that helps remind you to say no. But think of the difference here, right? Because hear the sound of the scissors slicing through that magazine paper, making those four sides of the little square around the word no. Scanning your eyes, scanning the pages, turning the pages, cutting these things out, ripping these things out, noticing the different color, the different fonts. You could be watching, you could be watching Christina Yang on Grey's Anatomy, and you could be sitting with scissors and magazines or flyers that come in the mail that you just want to recycle. Take, harvest them for the nose, right? I mean, just that is spending time with the self. It's spending time choosing. I mean, she created a box from the magazine, which impresses me. I do not know how to do that. You could find a jar. You could find another special container that feels good to you. And then the journaling practice, like fishing your hand around in the nose, pulling one out that feels like the right no for this particular situation. You know, imagine someone asks you for a favor, like, hey, can you cover my shift? They're always asking you to cover their shift, and you want to say no. And then you fish into your little dish of no's and you find, this is a little like a blue no in Helvetica or whatever. You know, like, it's just, none of this matters. It's about playing. It's about intention. It's about enjoying this process and being engaged with you. It really can be fun. I remember like joking about like handing no's out to people who asked for things she wanted to say no to. I don't know if she actually did this or not. But if you have a candy dish on your desk at work or something, it's like you could have a dish of no's. Someone could walk right in there and be like, hey, you want to stay late after work? And you just hand them the bowl. They can pick out a no for themselves. I mean, I feel like once you get started, it becomes easier because you see how wonderful it is. And you're freeing up energy, the energy that was draining you, you're in all the resentment that you were feeling because you said yes all the time, right? So what if someone says to you, excuse me, can you calm down? And you don't want to calm down. Could you stay late again? Hey, can you work this weekend? I know you worked last weekend, but could you work this weekend? I don't like what's for dinner. Can you make me something else? Can you stop being so needy? Will you just accept me the way that I am? I don't want a commitment. Is that cool? Now, see if you had any reactions to these. These are just questions. These are just questions. But often when we build resentment, it's not because someone asked us an unreasonable question. In fact, there's no harm in an unreasonable request. There's actually no harm in that request. The only time it's upsetting is when we feel like we can't say no, basically when we choose to say yes to an unreasonable request. That's what's actually upsetting, right? Someone can be like, hey, can you buy all my dinners this week and drive me to all of my appointments for no reason? You know, is it unreasonable? Maybe, probably. But it wouldn't matter to you if you felt totally, totally like okay with being like, no, I'm not paying for your dinners all week and driving you everywhere. I'm driving myself places and I'm making my own dinner. I don't have time for that. But if you felt like you had to say yes, that's where the resentment is. It's not in the question, right? So remember last episode about boundaries, responsibility. We are responsible for our choices. We are responsible for our limits, for our responses to others, and we're responsible for our feelings. That feels controversial, I know, to many people, but keep listening. So we can change our resentment, the feeling. We can change that by knowing our limits. You know, if you want some kind of commitment from the people that you're dating, if you don't want to work weekends, that's up to you to know, right? You're responsible for your limits. So you can change your feeling. You can change the resentment if you know your limits. And if you take responsibility for your choices, the choice to speak up instead of people pleasing, or another kind of sneaky way of people pleasing is going with the flow. I'm doing little bunny ear finger quotes into the microphone, Casey. Can't sense that. Oh, I'm just going to go with the flow. Yeah. Have you said that when actually what that means is you're afraid of confrontation? You don't want to deal with the other person's anger, right? It's not really going with the flow. So we have to be responsible for our choice to speak up or not speak up by changing our responses, by saying no. We're responsible for our responses. We can say no to things. You may have heard no is a complete sentence. You do not have to apologize profusely. You do not have to tell someone. If you're asked to say work weekends, it's not part of your job, and or work late continuously past when you're supposed to be there. You don't have to have again with the bunny ears, good reason, okay? You can go home because that's your time. Because you've put your time in at work. You've met your commitment, whatever it is that you're supposed to do. And you just want to go home. You don't have to be like, oh, like I have an appointment, or someone else is waiting for me, or, oh, I couldn't say no, I had to work late because I didn't have a good enough reason. No is a good enough reason. You spending time alone watching a show that you've watched for years on repeat, that's fine. That's your choice of how to spend your time. You can say no. It's a good enough reason. So take Erica's cue and go deeper with this. Is there something that you want to say no to? As I'm talking, is there something where you're like, oh God, yeah. What is that thing? And why do you want to say no to that? What is important here? What is important about saying no to this thing? And I think the most important question here is, what will this no make space for? Because when, you know, you say no, like I said, no's quickly open up space for the yeses. So what do you want to say yes to? Now, listen carefully if you're somebody who's just like, oh, doesn't have any me time. You know, the idea of going on a self-date is just like, yeah, well, good luck. You know, like, there's no time for that. I can't squeeze it in. Is that something that you want to say yes to? More time with yourself? What do you need to say no to in order to be able to say yes to those things? This is a key practice in self-marriage, of course. And so the daily yeses and no's, like, do you want to like work late? Do you want to go for a walk? Do you want to make 5 different dinners instead of just one? And let people just decide to eat it or not. For example, there's the daily things, right? But then there's the big picture, the yes, the no's, the deal breakers. What are seeing what yes to when it comes to dating? What are your big yeses and no's there? This is what people might call deal breakers, right? Are you just sort of going, well, just see what happens? But actually what you want is a monogamous, committed relationship. And maybe you don't really pursue that because you don't think that it's reasonable, or you think it's closed-minded or unevolved or whatever. So you end up saying yes to people who are dating you who do have no interest in that kind of partnership. What you're doing is you're saying no to what you really want, the commitment that you really want. Right? So these are like the bigger picture commitments to health. you know, when you start getting into these big yeses and nos, and you're doing this in the context of self-marriage work, this is where vows come from. It's not the daily, like, I vow every day to, you know, journal in the morning. That's not what this is. The vows are the really big yeses, the really big nos. So it takes work to even know what those things are. You know, there is no template other than, you know, if you're looking at marriage vows, wedding vows, you look, you know, anywhere, and it's, you know, there's a lot of examples, but they're based on some pre-established notions of what marriage needs to be or should be. There's definitely a lot of tradition. People write their own vows, but it's different when it's about you. What is that? These are the big yeses and the big nos. So in my recent newsletter this week, maybe you got one, I asked, where do you want to be by the end of this year? What would make you so damn proud and grateful? Because as we know, and as you know, if you're someone who's like living your years and years of yeses, right? Your dreams will easily slip away in that. They will easily get lost in that. If you just keep saying yes to this, working weekends, working late, doing things for other people, you're not going to write your book. You're not. You're not making time for it. You're not going to even be able to sit and listen and hear what your dreams are. So of course the next 3 months are going to fly by and it'll be a new year and you'll get all those other newsletters about New Year's resolutions and you'll think about what you promised yourself last year and how you didn't do it. Not because there's anything wrong with you. This New Year's resolution thing works for a very small population of people. Habit change is an enormous thing. But these are the times where we end up reflecting a little bit, right? So if you keep saying no, you're not going to know what that is, right? So what do you want? Like, what would make you feel proud and grateful? There's always a million reasons why you shouldn't follow your dream. There's always a million things that get in the way. Life is busy and chaotic. Even when things are running relatively smooth, there's always something. If you don't prioritize your life, someone else will. That is one of my very favorite quotes from the book Essentialism by Greg, McEwen? Essentialism. Greg, my buddy Greg wrote a book named Essentialism. That quote was, highlighted on a page and it resonated, unlike today's teabag, but it resonated in a way that felt, my intuition was right on point with that one. It was like, yes, that's true. And it, you know, your intuition isn't always going to be like a happy dance. It was like, oh, wow. This is true. I need to make a change. Like sometimes there's reverence in that. I hope that this is inspiring some of you to start. Maybe you're already snipping through some like newspaper or something like that and collecting your own basket, jar, box of no's. It can be, you know, really, really difficult to do. That's why it's a practice. Be kind to yourself and start where it's easy. Start right here. You know, it can be so difficult to see the answers, to know what it is that we want to say yes to hear our own voices and our true desires. You don't have to do this alone. I am here to help you. And I love, love, love this work. So if you are ready to make a big yes, say a big yes to you and to your relationship with yourself, do get in touch. I would be thrilled to help you make your own box of no's, make space for more of who you are and who you want to be in this life right now. A coach makes a huge difference in saying yes to you. I mean, that's my job. Imagine that. Imagine if you invested in support from a smart, an enthusiastic coach whose entire job is to help you get out of your own way. Is that something that you want to say yes to? Consider that. But above all else, listener, remember, you are someone worth loving. It all starts with you. practice saying no this week. Take a cue from Erica. Thank you so much, Erica, for sharing your story and allowing me to share it with all of you. I know that this is going to resonate with so many people, and I'm excited to hear about how that goes. You know, if you create your own box of no's, tag me in it on Instagram, Radical Creative Sanctuary. You can always email me, Danette@radicalcreativesanctuary.com. And if you wanted to book a call with me, you can book a free sample call. We'll talk, we'll listen to, you know, I'll listen to your dream about like where you would be if you were actually saying no for the next 3 months to all the things you want to say no to. I can help you get there. You can book a call anytime on my website. There's a button right there on the main page. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for sharing this podcast with friends and people that you care about. And it would be so wonderful if you could take the time to give us a little review. Me and my tea, me and all of us. That's how iTunes works. The more ratings you get, the more reviews you get, it just makes it more searchable. Yes, it strokes the ego, but that's not the point. The point is that it makes it more searchable for people who are looking for just these self-love pep talks. So if you can do that favor for the listeners who haven't yet found the soft shoulder, I would appreciate that so much. Have a fabulous next couple of weeks. I will talk to you soon. Take care of you.